Galactic Interstellar Council on Revolution Radio Studio A, Fridays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we traverse the starseed paradigm, as expressed in the time-space continuum that we know as the divine expression of love and light. Integrating this conscious unity into the galactic paradigm. So welcome all, both terrestrial beings and galactic beings as one. So be it. You're listening to Revolution Radio.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of whose program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at higher risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Well, this is Jim Fetzer, your host, where I have two main stories that are humongous.
Oh, James.
Indicate the absurd state of the world today, and also illustrate the power of the Rothschild banking empire, which owns 80% of the world's wealth and wants to make it 100%. I'm going to be joined today by James McCanny, who's just joined. James, you're there.
Hello, James. How are you doing?
Hey, I'm so glad you're here, because there are a couple of monster stories, and I really wanted to get your take on both of them. Let's begin in the EU, where the European Union Parliament wants to give up the Nord Stream pipelines, which is a foundation for European industry and energy. I mean, this is insanity beyond belief, beyond belief. There's a splendid story about it from the LibertyBeacon.com about this. I'll read parts of it and we'll discuss it with James. At the risk of sounding boring and repetitive, if not delusional, we still think it's all a movie playing out. Look what these idiots would do if they were in power type of thing. The globalist Great Reset puppets voting for this are simply revealing their agenda and being allowed to do so. A kind of sting operation at work, in our humble opinion. Now, what it means is those members of parliament who are signing to abandon the Nord Stream, which would brought about a era of peace, cheap energy for Europe, especially Germany being a beneficiary, reduced international tensions. It would have shown NATO is antiquated and useless, and we didn't have to continue to shell out the massive defense spending expenditures, because there'd be commercial, amiable, comfortable relations with Europe, with Russia, where Europe is benefiting from cheap gas. Russia's benefiting from having a regular demand coming from the West, and the tensions would just disappear. They would evaporate across time. You'd see a whole new era of peace. But that appears to be the reason why there's been such massive opposition. Here we have more. An EU parliamentary vote was done by roll call, naming precisely those who voted and how, instead of electronically where the names are hidden. Thus, we know exactly who voted to give up Nord Stream. Do seasoned professionals really make these sorts of mistakes, as Zimnik terms it? Nord Stream, that's the German member of parliament, Bernard Zimbrug, who recognizes a catastrophe it would be to give up Nord Stream with regard to Germany. Nord Stream has been the biggest thorn on the side for the Atlanticist neocon since the start because it created a power center between Russia and Germany, Europe. We're staying tuned to see if we can get a copy of this vote. Whether it's Truss in the UK currently making incomprehensible policy decisions or cabinet appointments, Trudeau, an inquiry has been launched into his Emergency Management Act, Macron in France. We have a general strike on Tuesday. Ursula von der Leyen in her privately negotiated deals with Pfizer or Biden, who, of course, is the biggest idiot, clown, phony, fake, fraud, not even the real Joe in the world. The list goes on. We believe the political class are somehow being engineered to show themselves up as completely corrupt and useless. Check it out. Twitter users this week, voter citizen frustration is rightly running high. We're not witnessing a convergence of accidents. In other words, there are no coincidences. James, give me your thoughts preliminary that Parliament, the EU Parliament, wants Nord Stream to be abolished. I mean, this is absolutely stunning. The vote shows very clearly the old parties are simply not interested in promoting the interests of their own country or even of Europe. They have opened the door to ever-increasing poverty, stabbed their own citizens in the back. James, your thoughts.
Well, I think the thing, James, that never comes out in any of these discussions, and I've heard, for example, Tulsi Gabbard has left her party discussing this, the Democratic Party, etc. But here are the things that I have not seen in the news. Number one, all of these politicians have bank accounts in the Ukraine. And when the United States puts $60 billion in the bank account, all of that money funnels back into the private bank accounts of these politicians. So that's number one. Number two, what nobody seems to understand except Putin, this is an Israeli proxy war. Have you ever heard anybody talk about this, James?
No, but I do agree. I do agree, James. And for simplicity, we can call me Jim and you James. I think you're making very telling points, James. Continue.
Well, the biggest population, Jewish population in the world next to Israel is Ukraine. And here is literally what happened. And this is through genetic tracing. It's become clear that the people who in 1948, remember Exodus and the Rothschilds bartered the agreement with the United States and Britain to populate this region, go in and basically take over what we now call Israel. And it was based on the presumption that these people left Egypt with Moses and that they had a genetic heritage in that country. And they called it Israel for the Israelites, supposedly, that left Egypt with Moses. None of that was true. And now genetic tracing is showing that the people who occupied Israel were in the Ukraine around 1000 AD. And they arrived in the Ukraine from the steppes of Russia. They were called Khazars. So anyway, there are some people who have put out this information, but what was going on is because of that realization, Israel was literally pulling back from the West Bank, literally depopulating the Gaza Strip and moving those people to Ukraine. And the reason the Ukrainian army was bombing the Donetsk region in eastern Ukraine was to clear the people so the Jewish people from Israel could now populate that region. That's the part of history that's missing, and nobody seems to understand this, including even people well-intentioned like Tulsi Gabbard. And then you have the banking aspect of this. So if you understand what's really going on, none of this should be a major mystery.
Oh, I agree with everything you're saying. Yes, DNA studies have shown that the occupants of modern-day Israel are overwhelmingly not descendants of the tribe of Judah, but rather they are from Ukraine, the region known as Khazaria originally. And that means that since the Palestinians are Semites, but the Israelis are not, Israel, ironically, turns out to be the greatest practitioner of anti-Semitism in the world today.
Right. And so the other issue is that they were moving hundreds of thousands of people to the Ukraine when, and that was the final straw on the camel's back, so to speak, that motivated Putin to go in there. So you can like Putin, you can hate him, you can call him whatever you want, but this is what happened. And so if you don't understand this, so literally the situation in Ukraine is a proxy, another proxy war from Israel, with the United States, of course, footing the bill, putting the you know, the ability to wage this war. And also a very interesting aspect of the war is that the old World War II style go in with tanks and armored personnel carriers simply doesn't work anymore because of the individual soldier with a shoulder mount anti-tank or anti-personnel carrier rocket launching system, you know, that costs very little, or Russia buying the same type of technology from Iran. So it's on both sides, with the Ukrainians getting these weapons from the United States or from NATO, and they're easily moved in there. So it's changed the entire face of warfare. So Putin has pulled back. He's now using very sophisticated rocket systems to target regions or specific targets in Ukraine. And so right now it's at a standstill with Russia massing large numbers of troops on their western border and with Ukraine basically losing troops as they go in. And so they're in the West advertising that these troop movements of Ukraine into the Donbas region are retaking cities, but all they're doing is sending in rows and columns of soldiers who are basically trapped there because they can be eliminated overnight, literally. So anyway, it's, you know, in terms of warfare, there's some very good analysts that are have had interviews recently. One on various shows, there's a show, it's called Redacted, and they've been interviewing some people who are giving the actual real situation on the ground. You don't see the real news about the Ukraine war in the Western world. And so anyway, there's also a banking involvement in this whole process because the unification and the requirement of the European Union and along with NATO to be unified is because they want to get rid of Putin. Putin has now Russia is a Eastern Orthodox is the national religion of Russia. It's a Christian nation. They don't have any issues with because of the wars in the Mideast and things like that. Europe is being flooded with refugees, whereas Russia is not. And so Russia has set payments on the gold standard and are demanding payments in basically gold, that you have to convert euros to gold, then to rubles, to make payments for the energy. So they're trying to stop this, but Europe has become totally dependent on Russian energy. And so anyway, what they're doing here is trying to resist economic forces that have been building up for literally decades. And it's, you know, none of it makes any sense unless you understand the real situation. Remember, Putin was thrown out of the G8. Remember, it became the G7 because they threw Putin out because he went against the international banking petrodollar. Where he was. So anyway, these are just simple facts. It's not pontificating as to who's right or who's wrong or whatever. But these are simple facts that never come out in the news media.
Oh, you're making wonderful, wonderful points, James. I think this is absolutely sensational. Here's a more comment from this article. Hello from Brussels last week. The EU Parliament voted on a motion to finally give up Nord Stream 1 and 2. In doing so, the EU Parliament made a mistake that was very helpful to us. It accidentally initiated a roll call vote instead of an electronic vote, which nobody noticed at first, and which the EU Assist website, which documents all voting results, has therefore recorded on its site. On the one hand, electronic votes mean it's known exactly how many votes are cast for or against a motion or how many abstain, but it also means the election takes place more or less anonymously because no member of parliament has to raise their hand. They just press a button. A roll call vote is practically the opposite. It's documented exactly which members of parliament voted and how. When the administration realized their mistake and changed it on their website, the child had already fallen into the well, because EU Assist documented exactly who voted and how. Of all the German MPs, only the three non-attached ones from the SPD, the left, and of course, we from the AID voted against giving up Nord Stream 1 and 2. The Greens, FDP, Wheeler Fall, Free Choice, CDU, CSU, and all but one of the SPD MPs voted to finally abandon Nord Stream 1 and 2 and thus voted for the fact that gas prices will continue to rise, that we may soon run out of gas. So voting for potential blackouts at coal department, anyone who supports these parties is calling for a loss of prosperity and the collapse of the German economy, indeed of the entire country. Only the AFD makes politics for Germany. James, this is going to be very, very revealing, because now we're going to see who exactly is under the thumb of the Rothschilds. And of course, their scope, their reach is so vast, given they already own 80% of the world's wealth. And now, of course, they want to take it all. I think it's going to enrage a lot of the populace. The question will be what they can do about it. Indeed, I foresee very massive uprisings in the streets of Europe. But again, it just depends. What can they do? We have seen revolutions in the past that originate with a people, especially or most notably the French Revolution. I would expect similar to be occurring now in many of the countries of Europe, except they're now consolidated, of course, as the European Union. What do you foresee coming of this? I mean, the people are going to understand this is economic suicide for the EU and that their representatives have made it happen.
Right. There's another thing that recently there was a bill introduced in the U.S. House that would require the senators, or the House of Representatives, electees, et cetera, to expose their holdings, which would also include their holdings in Ukraine, secret bank accounts. How does Nancy Pelosi, worth $200 million when she's just been this representative for all of these decades, where did they get this massive amount of wealth? And so anyway, they wanted to expose this and the money trails, and Nancy Pelosi will not bring that bill up for a vote. And it's right now, it's right, days before the election. And so anyway, the you know, the situation is worldwide. Let's put it this way. You see Canada, Australia, New Zealand. And what a lot of people don't understand also is that China is very controlled by the Rothschilds also. You know, the entire political structure in China, it's where they want to get the United States. They want a basically the same, whether you call it democracy or capitalism or whatever, the end result, the economic model will be the same as China, where there's, and it's already there, where you only have two companies that own all of the businesses, basically the big ones in the United States, or international companies that don't have any accountability to the United States at all. And so, you know, what they're doing is just forcing the United States into the same situation. And by the way, I have to laugh at the major news media that keep talking about Biden. The guy that you see on TV is not Biden. It's not Joe Biden. They've got him tucked away someplace. And the guy they have on TV acting as Biden wouldn't pass even a rudimentary face analysis test. You know, he doesn't look anything like Biden. He talks like him. He's an actor. You know, but all kinds of facial features, including the earlobes. Look at his earlobes, something basic. The guy they have on TV, his earlobes attach. Joe Biden earlobes are free. You know, this guy that the howdy doody Biden that they got on TV is not Joe Biden. He's some actor. You know, so that's the state of things. And people keep talking about Biden doing this or Biden doing that. It's just, you know, how could things be so crazy? But they are.
But James, of course, I mean, the media are in on it. I mean, they know better. I was calling this out from the first debate with Donald Trump that it wasn't the same guy. James Woods, a Hollywood actor, was the first to notice a difference in their eyes. They have a different shape and size of skull. They have a
forehead, everything.
They have different handwriting. They have different behavior when they're with Jill. The best I can tell, and I published several pieces about this, James, is that Joe Biden, the real guy, died in 2017, and they've been subbing in more than one Biden double, it appears. I have a friend who thinks there could be as many as 12. I'm not of that opinion. But I tell you, it's absolutely the case that this guy is utterly... He's not Joe Biden, and he's utterly incompetent. When the real Joe was with Jill, they'd walk hand in hand, arm in arm. She'd be beaming. He'd have this shit-eating grin on his face. I mean, it was invariable. When she's with this guy, they don't even walk hand in hand. They walk apart. She looks distressed. He looks rather somber. I think they're all worried they're going to be exposed. But the whole press is going along with it. James, you know, they have a set for the Oval Office in the West Wing, which has a huge, audience. It has seats and everything with a giant teleprompter. So this fraud, whose eyesight apparently is very poor, can actually read the words he's supposed to be reporting. And of course, how many times you've seen when he steps away from the podium, if it's another event, he may wander off, shake a hand of someone who's not even there, doesn't know where he's going. They have a group of handlers to get him off the stage. I mean, it's just ridiculous.
Right, and even that may be acting, just to make you think that this is Joe and, anyway, it's just absurd. But back to the main point. If you understand what's really going on, and I don't see anybody even getting close to this. And if you look at the major talk show hosts like Joe Rogan or Tucker Carlson or whoever, the hired, so-called heavy-hitting radio TV shows, none of them get to the bottom line of what is going on.
Well, bear in mind, they'd immediately be called conspiracy theorists. I mean, no matter how much evidence you have, if the mainstream doesn't want to hear your narrative, you're going to be savagely attacked. I, I compliment Joe Rogan and Tucker for how far they're able to go, even though I agree. It is true, of course, that he's explained behavioral, absence of mind and certain mental traits that we thought were characteristic of the real Joe. I'm not quite sure how they accomplish that. He has all these brain fogs and everything else. It's like they replace a real guy with someone who was truly demented, but they needed a stooge, James. They needed someone who had no comprehension of what he was doing to take responsibility for destroying the United States, because no one else wanted to have that obligation forced upon them. So they're using him as a stooge to make decisions from the beginning, such as canceling the XL pipeline and withdrawing permits to drill on federal land, to take us back to a stage where now he's so desperate to keep the price of gas down because it knows it has such a powerful effect on voting for the midterms. He's draining the strategic petroleum reserve just to keep prices down. I dare say, James, that wasn't the idea behind the strategic petroleum reserve, to be used to promote the political agenda to manipulate the votes of Americans as we come up to a midterm. And he is wiping us out in terms of the reserve.
Right. But there again, this is, peel back that onion layer of what it looks like, the plan is rolling out exactly as planned. Let's put it that way. Like somebody I talk to occasionally says, no, the plan is working exactly as planned. And if there are places where you can go and look at the news media announcements 2 weeks in advance, this is all rolling out like a script, So the idea that this is happening and it's like these economic forces, or when they ask Biden about inflation, he goes, his answer is, well, it's worse in other places, or they try and say that's a 9%, the highest in 40 years inflation, 9% per year. It's 9% per day. you for something like a jar of peanut butter. There's no real sources of news that are really covering what's really going on. And what's growing out of this are independent news reporters, kind of like back in the first Gulf War. CNN, Ted Turner, had boots on the ground in Iraq during the first Iraq War, and both George Bush Sr. and Saddam Hussein were both getting their news from CNN. And then right after that, the CIA went out and bought CNN, paid Ted Turner, became a gazillionaire, because he sold this news network, and CNN, as we know it today, the Candy Nugget News, was born for disinformation. And realizing that the two most powerful people in the world at the time, and most noted, Saddam Hussein and George Bush, were getting their news from an independent news source. And so they actually bought it and created it. And interestingly enough, that's the same time that the CIA took over NASA, the space agency, and it became this smoke screen that you see today. But anyway, that being said, you have to understand what's really going on in the world. And this has been a plan rolled out to bring down the United States, because the Rothschilds cannot succeed in the world. Their police force, which is the CIA, housed in Arlington, Virginia, in D.C., their goal has been to take down the United States and bring it down to the level of all of the other countries, including China. And the plan was to take down Russia, but they got this guy named Putin who didn't go along with the gig. I mean, Putin was in all the G8 meetings. He knew the gig. He knew what he was supposed to do. And then he just said, no, I'm not doing it. Sorry, I'm out of here. And that's where the world is today.
Those are all wonderful observations, James. Here I have from the Epoch Times what I'm hoping not to see, but I'm not surprised. Early voting and mail ballot turnouts point to 2020 replay. But of course, we had a massive theft of the election. Let me share a few paragraphs. Nationwide early voting and vote-by-mail turnout trends for the 2022 midterm election reflect a pattern similar to that of the pandemic-skewered 2020 election, which, of course, was massively stolen. As a result, it may take several days after polls close on November 8th for results to be confirmed in several key battleground states, including Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, and Michigan. In-person early voting periods and vote-by-mail have grown increasingly popular over the last two decades. They became mainstream during the 2020 election when more than 101 million Americans cast early in-person votes or vote-by-mail ballots. The 2022 early vote and vote-by-mail turnout is expected to easily eclipse the record for midterm elections set in 2018 when more than 5 million voters cast early in-person ballots and 30.4 million voted by mail. The tolls this year may come close to matching the number of ballots cast before Election Day in 2020. According to the University of Florida's United States Election Project, as of October 23rd, more than 7.46 Americans had already cast their midterm ballots. James, I'm very disturbed. I mean, JFK observed that those who make a peaceful reform impossible make violent revolution inevitable. I think there are a hell of a lot of Americans who are sick with all the happy horseshit we've got for the Biden admin, not only destroying our energy of independence, flooding the nation with all of these illegals, the vax, supporting the vax, trying to get mandates. In fact, that's a second horrendous story I have to share, which is the advisory committee for the CDC voted 15-0 to give the vax to kids as early as 6 months, up to 17 years, when it's a minuscule proportion, something like 0.7 of a percent of deaths in that age category. There's no justification whatsoever when you have the vax that has a stunning percentage, bringing about millions upon millions of deaths. I suspect over a billion people are going to die from the vax, and of course they're going to try to bring in others. I mean, this is just awful stuff. And having exposed the fraud of 2020, where it's virtually illegal to call it out, now we're supposed to just go along with it again, James? This is just putting knots in my stomach.
James, I'll tell you what, I have stopped talking about a lot of this stuff. You know, I put in some points today in my philosophy, because I have my own radio show. I'm a guest on a lot of shows. People come to me for answers. And if other shows are not talking about it, then that's when I chime in. Because and people to come to me, even though I'm a scientist, for political analysis, etc. And so what I'm talking about today is I'm not seeing it. You have people in terms of the vaccine, etc. As you pointed out, Dr. Mercola, people who are specialists in that field are very vocal right now about all of those things. And so, it's something that, because of the vast amount of coverage that's getting, then, you know, leave it to those people to comment, because they're specialists. But, there are 100 things going on all at the same time, and it's all designed to destroy and divide the United States. You know, this is classic Marxist Communist Manifesto maneuvers to divide, you know, every faction against every other faction. So the country is so divided within families, you know, mothers and daughters, fathers and sons, nieces and nephews, grandmas and grandpas in the family. And, you know, it's meant to divide everybody in so many ways that everybody is standing there in a little cell by themselves. And then, that becomes a country that has, look, the United States has no defenses at all within the United States. Everything, you know, they're talking about not having bullets for guns in the U.S. military in the United States. I mean, they have gutted the United States. Like you say, the oil reserves, the food reserves, the water is poisoned from one wall of the country to the other. The EPA, the Environmental Pollution Agency, has guaranteed that the United States water supply, excuse me, a supply is so dangerous you can't even swim in it or eat fish from it, let alone drink it, you know, or shower in it. You know, this is, it's insane, you know, in every aspect. But the country is ripe for the pickings. And I mean, look at peripheral things like outer space. China has implored young people in their country to join and become part of their new space station. So they have young people. We don't have anything. We got a big rocket sitting on a launch pad that they're afraid to launch because that baby's probably going to blow up before it gets 10 feet off the launch pad. You know, that's the state of our space program. And, you know, every couple months you get a picture back from Mars from a little rover that, you know, that's the visible space program. Let me just put it that way. So at any rate, yeah, if you look at all aspects of the United States, it's so far behind in, you know, the students in the United States are 42nd in the world in English. You know, how does that work? Anyway, you know, I could go on and on. Failed education.
This is great stuff, James. And yeah, here you got America, an English-speaking nation, and we're 42nd in the world in our mastery of English. I mean, man, is that ever symptomatic of the sad state of education in the United States? And of course, they are giving excellent instruction about transgenderism. They are having drag queens come in and give elementary school kids shows. They're talking about your right to choose your own sex. They're explaining how the schools have the right to protect the kids from their parents by encouraging them to change their sex without allowing their parents to know what's going on. James, this is so insane. I mean, in my lifetime, I would never in my wildest dreams have imagined the United States could descend to such a state of absurdity.
Yeah, well, it's, you know, and that's, it's all by design. And this is classic Marxist, you know, Communist Manifesto. You know, this is not the first time this has happened. This is the 100th time this has happened. But, you know, if you erase history and you don't allow students to understand real history, then it's going to repeat itself and it's going to be very easy. It's like taking candy from a baby. You know, so and the United States is falling for this, along with the news media. It's biting this hook, line, and sinker. You know, and so anyway, it's, you know, the United States is in a really big mess, and most people's reaction to it. I was on a radio show the other day, and I started out by talking about the modern Maya around 800 AD, Tikal and Chichen Itza and these major cities in southeastern Mexico and Quintana Roo and Guatemala, those areas, Honduras, had millions of people. And all of a sudden, they just all left and went out and lived in the countryside. And nobody could figure out why. Well, it's because they were killing the populace. They were lopping their heads off. They had human sacrifice. They had extended proxy wars. It was insane. The leaders literally went insane in one day, literally almost in one day. All the people just left. And that's what's going on right now. You have people in New York City that are taking whatever resources they have and they're just getting in their car and they're driving and trying to find maybe a little piece of land someplace that they can just go to. This is literally happening in the United States right now, where people, you know, people trying to fight the school board you know, they're not going to do it anymore. They just get up and leave and start their own homeschool, because there's no fighting the system anymore. It's so entrenched and ingrained that there's no ability to fight it anymore. And, you know, so the people are just leaving. They're just finding another place to go. So that's the current situation in the United States. But it also is a country that's falling apart from the inside. You know, it's imploding, and it's a very easy mark for countries like China or Russia to literally take it over in a heartbeat.
James, it's just so astonishing. I mean, give me your extrapolation. If you got people abandoning the cities because they become hellholes, because there's no law enforcement, because crime is running rampant, and we see examples every single day, what is the effect then? You get a redistribution into rural areas, you get a dramatic diminution of populations in cities, which what, become the new ghost towns of America?
Well, no, they become the new, basically, warlords who run the streets with gangs and you know, depopulating the police force. And the people that were all for this, now they're trying to call the police and nobody answers. You know, so you play at places like Minneapolis or Portland or Seattle or, you know, San Francisco or L.A., you know, the top 20 big cities in the U.S. are all controlled by the Democratic machine. And, you know, it's not a Republican-Democrat thing. The Democratic Party has become the arm of the Marxist revolution. And so everything you see, the division, the divisiveness, that's exactly how it plays out. And the people that are in there, the running the show, these people have been handpicked and groomed for decades. And so the elections, you know, the old, you know, Mayor Daley Chicago machine, what they call it, the political machine, where the Mayor Daley always won. And that's just in place. You just have a different person, a different name, you know, in the, you know, high levels of corruption in the city. It makes Gotham City, you know, with Batman and Gotham City, makes it look like, you know, you know, a lovely place to live. But it's the death of society, basically. And there are countries that are resisting this. You don't hear about it in the news. There are countries that are, you know, you don't hear about this in the mainstream news, but there are countries, major countries like India, who are not siding with the United States. And countries are realizing one by one that if they side with the United States, they're going to go down with the ship. And so it's the real situation in the world. I guarantee you are not hearing about it in the mainstream media or even the alternative media in the United States, because nobody really studies it. So, you know, but the United States, the entire goal has always been to take it down. And, you know, if you take somebody like even Trump, he ushered in the warp speed program for the vaccine. And whether he thought he was doing a good job or that was the right thing to do, you know, his forte is making deals and making them happen and big business deals and stuff like that. Well, he played right into the hands of the pharmaceutical companies, whether intentional or not. That's where, and right now, just today, the CDC is talking about Mercola. You've been sending out the Mercola articles talking about the fact that, no, they never tested anything. There was no verification of the vaccine. And, you know, now they're starting to admit that. Well, after the whole world was destroyed.
Yeah,
James,
I know.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you, James. It's absolutely stunning what's happened here. Joseph Mercola has put this out. The premise behind COVID shot mandates and vaccine passport was that by taking the shot, you would protect others because it would prevent infection and spread of COVID-19. In early October 2022, during a COVID hearing in the European Parliament, Dutch member Rob Roos questioned Pfizer's president of international developed markets, Janine Small, about whether Pfizer had in fact tested and confirmed that their mRNA jab would prevent transmission prior to its rollout. Small admitted that Pfizer never tested whether their jab would prevent transmission because they had to move at the speed of science to understand what's happening in the market, and we had to do everything at risk. We've known for well over 2 years that shots were never tested for transmission interruption. In October 2020, Peter Doshi, associate editor of the British Medical Journal, highlighted that trials were not designed to reveal whether the vaccine would prevent transmission. Yet everyone in government and media insisted they would do just that. It was never about science or protecting others. It was always about following a predetermined narrative that sought to get experimental mRNA technology into as many people as fast as possible. And that narrative, by the way, didn't originate with scientists. That came from the Rothschild banking empire that wants to acquire the other 20% of the Earth's wealth that it does not presently possess. James, this is such a staggering result.
That's where it comes into play. And you know, once again, you have to realize that the CIA is the police force of the World Bank. If you realize that, then you understand of all of the, you know, the putting politicians into offices. And this has been going on for a long time. They're, you know, selecting people and moving, you know, judges, mayors, city council, school boards, state level officials, you know, district attorneys, state attorney generals, you know, all of these people have been groomed and put into place. So when the lever was pulled, basically January of 2020, all of this was in place. The news media, you know, because 9/11 was a prepping, it was a stepping stone. But the real agenda, and I saw the web pages where the entire COVID thing was outlined, and you could drill down into it, and you could see the news media headlines that were parroted by all the news media. They would go to this website to see what their daily news reporting would be. It rolled out like a big carpet, and it is still going on. And so anyway, the entire goal was to basically destroy the economy of the world, destroy small business. Amazon grew to unbounded proportions, you know, where people were buying online. And once again, another factor that destroyed small businesses, not allowing people to go to restaurants, you know, basically small business, which was the core of the American economy, was killed overnight.
You know, David Icke was so perceptive. He was early on talking about this all being an attack on small businesses and, you know, deprive us of our rights and to return to a medieval society where the rich are ensconced in their castles, roughly gated communities, you know, the castles surrounded by moats, while the rest of us are toiling in the field as serfs and slaves. He got it exactly right. Because they only want enough, you know, 500 million, one half a billion, when the world's pop today is about 8 billion, to serve as their, you know, subordinates, no doubt sex slaves and the like. That's supposed to be manageable in numbers, whereas 8 billion is not. There's no justification for this massive depopulation on any level other than the desires of the globalist elite to control all the resources of planet Earth.
Well, the issue is that, you know, Elon Musk has pointed out that the population is very tenuous and that, you know, the even by natural standards, without COVID, without the shot, anything else, the world is not overpopulated. In fact, if you look at actual statistics, the world population is going down. And, you know, it's just simply the, you know, the statistics bear that out. And what's really going down is the educated population, because even if their people are educated, they tend to have fewer kids. And Joe Rogan was pointing this out the other day, that, you know, it's the guy that's getting the lady next door knocked up, and he's got five kids, and you know, the woman down the street, and, you know, so the people that are having lots of kids don't have any ability to take care of them. So the kids are being raised in a sense on the street, you know, for lack of a better word. And, you know, it's not getting a quality population. Here's an interesting statistic, James. El Salvador, Guatemala, and Honduras, which are the three nations just south of Mexico, which were pouring huge numbers of people up to the border with the United States and then crossing the border back in the earlier days of the open border of the Biden administration. Their population growth at about 7% per year, it means that they double their population every 10 years. So in other words, they could move people at the rate of 100,000 a month into the United States without ever reducing their population in their country. So they could do this forever. Literally, to move that number of people into the United States without ever depleting their current population. And, you know, Mexico, most of the Mexicans are already in the United States. Mexico officially has 105 million population, and probably at least 50% of them are in the United States right now. So, you know, if you look at population, you have China and India with 2 billion plus people each, more or less. And the United States is third with alleged 340 million people. But if you take away that Mexican border and you just include Mexico, all of a sudden you have a country, Mexico, United States, with a half a billion people. And that's at the cusp at which the population is going to go exponential. So we're looking at, by the year 2030, the way things are going now, a population of at least a billion, possibly a billion and a half in the United States. And this is reality. So the rest of the world is not populated. In fact, most of the rest of the world is very, very low population in terms of, you know, population density. But so the three countries, the United States will join India and China as a billion plus population country.
Well, that's fascinating, James. You wipe out the border, and that's essentially what Biden's doing. He's eradicating the border. It's moving forward with the North American Union without the consent of the governed, which appears to be a very popular policy now. And Justin Trudeau, of course, is just, by executive order, remove the lawful possession of even handguns to the Canadian population. I used to think Canada was like a kinder, gentler version of the United States, but it's turned into a petty tyranny, James. I find all of this shocking.
Well, Canada is part of England, remember. And so is Australia, New Zealand, and other countries. And part of China used to be part of England. And that's why the Rothschild banking link is still there, the Bank of London. And the Queen, you know, who the ex-queen or the recently deceased queen, sat on that branch of the Rothschild banking empire. Remember that the Queen of England was a Rothschild. She was not, you know, English people know that. She's not a, you know, of English descent. The House of Windsor is a constructed house to combine with the royalty of England as part of the Rothschild Empire, banking empire. You know, in the United States is the part of the trifecta with the military branch and the CIA that basically goes out and controls the world and the politics of the world and maneuvers things, goes into countries and barters deals with the corrupt politicians they put in place for loans that the country can't pay back. And then these international corporations that are part of the Rothschild Empire go in and take over the resources. And that's what's going on in the United States right now, to bring it down to third world status. And if you see everything that's going on in the U.S., that's the end result, is a third world country, the United States, And the corruption, old Rome has nothing on Washington, D.C. I mean, the level of corruption in the United States is just beyond belief. And most people have no concept. There's still people, most people in the U.S. are walking around with rosy-colored glasses. Even if they sense something is wrong, they still can't even imagine the level of corruption going on. And those people are just the people in Washington, D.C. are all clogs in the wheel. They're there because they're getting their pockets lined and they're happy. What could be wrong?
It's just stunning, James. I can't tell you how glad I am to have you here. I'm tempted to open the lines early, 540-352-4452, because I'm sure many are going to have questions for you, my friend. We're going to hit the break, and then we'll be back with James McCanny, giving us a very clear picture of the situation we're in. And frankly, none of us are going to like. Most are resisting, are in a state of denial about the reality of what's taking place and how the latest from the Epoch Times has it that the voting patterns are like those at 2020. In other words, the Democrats are going to steal the midterm just the same way they stole the presidential in 2020. No surprise there. We hoped it wouldn't happen. But what will be the long-term consequences? I think JFK had it right. We may be forced to fight a second American Revolution. Don't give up your guns, whatever you do. Back with James McCanny.
You're listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out "And Nobody Died in Boston Either." Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
That the Capitol will ever treat us fairly, you are lying to yourselves. Because we know who they are and what they do. This is what they do, and we must fight back. You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. The time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet, not giving up. Revolution. The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates. You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, James, I understand you have to depart, and I brought you in on such short notice. I'm just ecstatic that you could actually do all that you've done already. Give us what you foresee as the short-term future of the United States and the world. Where are we going? What's about to happen to us?
Well, you know, I don't know. Predicting the future here is pretty difficult. It's a real mess, and I think the people of the Ukraine and Europe and the United Kingdom, et cetera, are going to be in a really big economic problems here. They already are. I don't know where it's going to go. I really don't. I have no way of. Because the plan is being disrupted. There's a term in economics, it's in investment fields, et cetera. It's called disruptive. And disruptive is something that was not planned on. Something that, you know, if all of the things that are going on now would be disrupted by something else that's going to come in from the side to disrupt the current status quo. And that's going on. And so where this is all going to shake out, I don't know. I don't know, because the bankers don't like to lose. And, you know, a big part of this international energy equation is international economic equation is energy. And water is another one of it. And then, of course, the global climate change thing is to control everything, including energy and water, especially water, which is another control factor, and air. So, I mean, you can't pick three more important items on the planet than energy, water, and air. And so, you know, and everything else is dependent on those. So, you know, where this is going to go, I have no idea. But the level of fascism that's coming and already here is, you know, to where you cannot talk about any of these issues. It's simply against the law. And so that's where they're trying to bring this. And it's, you know, it brings it up to something like the Hunger Games movie, where the elite sit in a room and watch on a big television screen as individuals hunt each other with bows and arrows or something down to the last person that's surviving, you know. And so that's their form of entertainment. And if there's a scene, there's a famous scene of Obama, and he's sitting there and he's giving a talk to the World Forum. And it looks just like that. They're all around him. It's exactly the same. You know, and so you have the elites. And by the way, you wonder who's running the White House now. Remember that Hillary and Obama really never got along very good. Obama scooped out the presidency where Hillary thought she was supposed to be president back there in the 2008. Hillary was supposed to be president, and she got chopped off at the knees by the Rockefellers because she thought she was going to go in and run the show and be president of the United States. And they realized that Hillary was not a team player. So she had to go back and become Secretary of State under Obama, which was like to her, Bill Clinton said it best. Their attitude, he said, Obama should be serving his morning coffee. That was Bill Clinton's statement about Obama. And so anyway, to humiliate the Clintons by putting Obama as president and not Hillary, and then she had to be Secretary of State, had to go back and become senator in New York to get her run to the White House, and then to lose to Donald Trump. I mean, it was just, so anyway, but on top of all of this, the Rothschilds don't like losing. And so anyway, where is it going to go? I don't know. It's really, I can tell you, you're not getting good news coverage in the West. So all of the news coverage you're getting about Ukraine. What's that?
No, that was a caller.
Oh, I'm sorry.
go ahead, James. Go ahead.
And so anyway, where things are going, I can't tell you. I really don't know. It's like a Bobby Fischer chess game where the chess game is going on, and where is it going to go? I don't know. I can't tell you.
Well, let me just return to the cities. You were saying, and I think quite accurately, the same thoughts had been mine. It's going to become a gang zone run. You know, it's going to be controlled by gangs in various parts of the city. But the gangs can't run the sewer system. The gangs can't run the subway. The gangs can't even run the bus lines or the taxis. What the hell is going to happen to the cities? This is part of why I think they're going to become ghost towns, James. They're going to be cesspools, dens of inequity. But, I mean, the quality of life is going to be horrific.
Yeah. No, it's not good. It's not good, and there's no way to bring this back. That's the problem. You find a country like I guess I won't give any examples. Maybe I'll think of one here, but where they literally went out and arrested tens of thousands of people. And, and created prisons where they just stored these people and to get them off the street because the gang situation was so horrendous. But we're talking like Los Angeles alone, you know, maybe has a quarter of a million homeless people. The one thing that's not being talked about is where the people coming across the southern border are going, and they're being shipped all over the United States to small towns. And the point, of course, was to disrupt the election, where they would give these people a license or something like that so they could go vote. And it'll be interesting to see what happens to these people coming in to the country after the election, because they won't be useful anymore. There's no need for them. The government was supporting programs where they would make $25 up to $50 an hour, some of them, for washing dishes. You know, and they were, and I think the program, part of what my own research disclosed, was that they were laying off Trump supporters. And these were common blue-collar workers like washing dishes, driving trucks, delivery trucks, maybe construction. And then the government would pay them large amounts of money. So these employees that were illegal aliens were getting huge amounts of money. And they were then sending that money back to their own country, which was all over the world. And then more people would fly into Mexico City and come up across the border and have money to pay the coyotes, because in Mexico, the Mexican side of the border, you have to pay somebody to get across. It's totally controlled on that side. And from what I understand, they would then have to pay somebody on the U.S. side you know, like the Border Patrol, or not the Border Patrol, I won't name any specific, but somebody had to be paid even on the U.S. side to get through. And then, but these people that came here made money quickly, you know, like I say, $25 to $50 an hour, could send that money back to their family, friends, relatives, whatever, to bring more people into the United States. And but I'm wondering what's going to happen to these people after the election, because their usefulness will have subsided. Anyway, it's a huge mess. But they're all over the United States, and primarily in Republican places that are traditionally Republican, including small towns, small cities, you know, et cetera. So,
all deliberately calculated to destroy America, and with great effect. Great effect, James. I mean, it's working.
Yeah. Yeah. It's anyways, you asked me where things are going. I really don't know. But the United States is not being viewed highly in you take a show like, for example, let's say The View, where you have these overly privileged women sitting there opining on all kinds of things, and they're literally the epitome of the ugly American. That you know, they are these high and mighty, opinionated. They, you know, how many of these women have actually been on the street in Mexico, someplace? No, maybe they've been to a 5-star hotel in Cancun. That would be the closest. Maybe they had a maid who was Mexican that they never even spoke to. You know, they have no idea what's going on in the rest of the world. And so they give these are literally the ugly Americans, and why the world population hates Americans, you know, because they have no idea what it's like to live in the rest of the world, which has been completely destroyed and brought down to poverty level, living in the dirt because of the CIA, which has been controlling U.S. foreign policy since, you know, literally before World War II, you know, in some form or another, you know. But the, you know, the situation is so bizarre, you know. Back in when I was in education, people would come to me and they'd say, what should I do with my daughter or son when they get out of high school? And my recommendation was that you buy them a one-way ticket to a third world country, and they have to earn their way back. They have to work with the people, you know, literally on the street, to earn a living, enough money. And if they make it back alive, they're going to be a lot smarter, and the world is going to be a very different place. But no, what happens to kids? You know, mom and dad mortgage the house so that the kids can go to college, which is 4 years of babysitting. And then they get a degree, and now they're supposed to go out into the world and get a real job for the next 30 years and pay a mortgage. But that system is crumbling before our very eyes, because if there's one benefit that came out of COVID, is people realize that, you know, maybe there's a different way. Maybe there's a better way to live your life, that treadmill that starts when you walk into kindergarten, maybe not the best way to go, you know, and maybe the educational system is not really bringing you up to where you're going to have a fulfilling life. Anyway, so people are moving into the country, but there's a lot of people that have to stay in the city. There are people in Los Angeles, for example, that can't afford a U-Haul truck to move. You know, they would literally have to just, I heard a story about a guy, he saved up 6 months' money to fix his car so he could move out of Los Angeles, and ended up in somewhere like Alabama to buy a little teeny farm with a little old broken down house on it, where they're going to try and make a new life. This is like the Depression days. You know, people are trying to find a way to exist, and wait till this winter. till the electric and the gas prices double in the United States or triple. You know, and people will be trying to go to the store to buy food that's triple price if it's there.
James, I know. I mean, and here we have five signs of war between Russia and NATO is about to spiral out of control. I mean, I think it would be your inference that Israel wants to have this war. But if Ukraine is radiated by nuclear blasts, and by the way, I think if Russia is drawn into a war, it's going to be massive. It's not going to restrict its targets to those located in the geographical region of Ukraine. They've even mentioned London as the number one target, which is deserved since the Rothschild Empire is exerted from the city of London. Muammar Gaddafi said, if you want to end international terrorism, just lob a cruise missile into the city of London. Your thoughts about the war spinning out of control? They're mentioning, you know, it appears they've already used a dirty bomb. We got the 101st Airborne being sent. We got a million rounds of ammo. That'll be expended pretty fast. Iranian troops to Ukraine. I mean, James, I mean, the world is about to fall apart.
Like you say, you asked me to predict, and I don't know. I don't see it. I don't see it de-escalating. And I refer to people like Tulsi Gabbard as looking for a vote of sanity, a breadcrumb of sanity somewhere to turn this thing around. But I don't see it. I don't see it because I think the dice have been cast. And the people in charge are they have their marching orders. So I don't know. I don't know. I would really don't know. And I hate to be I would hope that tomorrow everything would change and there's a bright future and the sun comes up and bright and shiny. But so I don't know. I don't predict the future. And I'm not very good at that. But the world situation right now is dire. And, you know, another thing is people listen to radio shows like this and they listen and they turn it off and they go away and they don't and nothing happens. And this has been going on for decades. So that, even though they might have some information, they really don't act on it. And, it's very difficult today when the entire political system has been completely corrupted for so long. It's very difficult because those are the people you depend on to do the right thing, and it isn't happening. So, I can't predict the future, but I think some people are going to have some very rude awakenings. I think that's the one thing I can predict. And they're going to be asking, how could this happen or how could this have ever happened or gotten to this point? And it's simply the information is all around you. You know, I saw a movie the other day. It was an older movie about, I don't know if it was World War I, World War II, but the soldiers are all dressed up in their shiny uniforms. And they're all going off to war and the crowd is there cheering them. And, you know, what they don't show is when the soldiers are coming back all shot up or dead or in bags. It's the same mentality as that we're always right. We always win the war, you know, that mentality nobody wins any war. Let's just put it that way. There's never been somebody that's won a war in the history of the world. There are no winners. But where things are going, I couldn't tell you. And also, if you have callers that come on here after me, there's a lot of times I hate to give airtime to people who want to change or twist the story that I've been presenting or comment on things when I'm not here to talk about them. But I have to get going. There's a couple things I have to get done here today.
Well, James, but, this has been go ahead. This has been sensational. I think you have such clarity of the big picture. I'm really profoundly impressed and very grateful to you for joining, especially on such short notice.
Well, you know, what I would hope is that people like Rogan or Tucker or those other people or Tulsi Gabbard would listen to this show, because they're on the edge of understanding, but they're not there. You know, they're not putting the whole picture together, and that's why it doesn't make sense. It's like, how could this be? How could we get to this position? Well, no, the plan is working just exactly as planned. You know, this is a planned operation, and it's rolling out exactly as it's supposed to be. It's not a mistake. It's not because people are stupid. Well, they are, but this is a well-controlled, well-executed plan.
Yep, I do agree. I do agree, James, and I can't thank you enough for being here today. Just some wonderful stuff. Where can people hear you regularly, by the way?
Well, they can go to my webpage. The simplest is the jmccsci.com. Everything links from there. And, a lot of information. I generally don't talk about a lot of these issues on, say, my own show or other things. I try and, in a sense, stay away from them. But like I said earlier, when I don't see these topics being covered by anybody else, then that's when I step in. And, you know, and I've been around the world quite a bit and worked with various groups in other countries and things like that. So I know how to get information that doesn't rely on the U.S. media, news media, which is really... what can you say? Even the people that try hard never, ever get to the real core issues.
Well, we're trying hard, and you sure help us get there, James, so I can't thank you enough, and I greatly appreciate your joining today. This has been a really...
Should I stay for one caller? Should I stay for one caller, James?
Okay, that's fine. We do have a... Our first caller, I think, is Brian, standing by. Brian, go ahead. You got James McCanny and me with you. Go ahead.
James, I disagree on one thing. When you said no one wins these wars, the Rothschilds win the wars. I don't think you'll argue
but
that.
But they're not
point.
Fighting it. They're not fighting the war.
I know. But they
so
still
win.
They win financially. Okay.
Right.
So, anyway,
right. But I mean, in terms of somebody fighting a war, who is the winner? No, there's no winner. There's, you know, the people that are fighting the war. So let me qualify that. So
okay.
Thanks for.
Well, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
When, as soon as you said that, I said, well, I know the bankers are winning. And what I wanted to point out is on Henry McCow, I'm sure you're aware of that website. He had articles about how during World War II in Ukraine, German High Command, Keitel, Jodl, all those people were getting their orders from City of London, and that they were told by the Jewish people of City of London to be sure and exterminate as many people in Ukraine as they possibly could. And it just shows the extent of the deep state. And I think today in Russia, they have a deep state. That's why every country has a deep state, and they can't really do everything they want to do because, you know, there's deep state traitors in Russia that interfere with everything. And that's why this is drug out so long. Your thoughts on that?
Putin has some issues in his own country, and he's very much aware of it. The only difference is that he's taken a different path, whereas typically, say Trump was totally surrounded by deep staters, and so when it came to the election, they were telling him, "Yeah, Donald, you lost. Get out of here. Don't make any stink. You know, that's just the way it is in D.C." You know, and Trump, in a sense, was totally out of his element.
James,
he was used to. But in terms of Putin in Russia, he knows, you know, and he probably knows who the people are, and he's has to balance because he gets his support, some of the support he gets from those people. So yeah, it's a I'm not sure how he manages that, but only he knows.
James, just to follow up, how do you ascribe responsibility? You mentioned warp speed, and I know so many who are so keen on Trump find that very, very troubling. I find it myself. How can we explain what happened there? Was he knowingly complicit, or was he played?
Well, Jared Kushner told Trump, don't touch this thing with a 10-foot pole. It's going to go away. It's nothing. You know, don't jump on this bandwagon. And that's at the same time that Fauci and Scarf Lady walked into Trump's office and said, look, this is coming. It's going to be a major pandemic. Millions are going to die. And of course, Fauci was carrying the message in from Bill Gates and the CDC and the World Health Organization and the, you know, the Rothschild banking empire and the CIA and all of these other entities, which made sure that these, you know, these laboratories were funded and actually involved in the production of these viruses and things like that. So I cannot second guess people, but there's one of two answers, you know. But my guess is that Trump got played, and he, you know, if you look at Trump, he's the, you know, the art of the deal. He's the deal maker. He sees this thing coming in. He calls up Pfizer. He says, we're going to do this warp speed thing. We're going to get this done faster than fast. We're going to get beyond this and move on. And we were told at the beginning that this thing was going to be, you know, locked in place for 1 week, and then that was it. We just have to lock down for a week, and it turned into 2 years. And that's the scam of any financial con artist, is, you know, you give a promise and then you just keep extending it.
James, I can't thank you enough for being here today. I look forward to having you back.
Okay, James. We'll see you.
So much.
Radio at freedomslips.com, and we'll be right back after this message.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio. Join Revolution Radio
every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job, that Osama had nothing to do with it, that the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes, that Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and freedomslips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
That was just sensational to have James McCanny here. I'm extremely happy. Bruce, you're standing by. Go ahead. We've heard from Brian. Bruce. Bruce,
all right. I'm here. Okay. Yeah, I'm here now.
Go ahead.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm just having a new headset, and I guess I know it works. I asked my sister to hold it down. Yeah, good guess there. He hit pretty much everything. I want you to recall, because he brought up movies. And you remember the first Rollerball with James Caan? It was basically a blood sport. And it was for the entertainment of the oligarchs and financial elites, the corporations over a despotic world. That was pretty interesting. And the first intro to Spaceballs, and Mel Brooks, he's inhaled a can of air. They're going to steal the air of another country. I mean, another planet. And that's just it's a good analogy for what's going on now. It's a battle of resources. They want to grab Russia and just rape it, you know, from top to bottom, break it up. And I just hope it doesn't happen. If Russia falls, the whole world is now under their control. You know, it's just, I see him as a bulwark against the global New World Order. And I want to say something about the media. Back, it was about 2005, 2006, when I started looking into 9/11. Back then, Google was wide open. Remember that? You search for something, and bam, it came up. There was no filters. There were no algorithms to steer you away from what you were looking for. And I downloaded a paper from media.co.uk, and it was dated October or late September 2001, and it was two pages long as a white paper. It was a strategy for pursuing the war on terror, disseminated to all major media organizations around the world. And I was looking at this thing, I was like, my God. I mean, so I downloaded it, and The next day it was missing from my hard drive. And then soon thereafter, I was getting intrusions into my computer, through my, I had a cable modem at the time. The firewall kept failing. I had to go through several hard drives that would just mysteriously just fail out of nowhere. And, I would switch motherboards. I would switch operating systems. I would use, software, hard drive, firewalls, nothing helped. And finally, I sent one of my hard drives to a computer place, and they sent it to another one, and they sent me back a report from Trend Micro stating that I had a Stuxnet variant. A Stuxnet, one of 27 infections recorded worldwide. Now that was total CIA. They're behind it all. And so that's who we're up against. And that was a big education on my part. So now I use nothing but a phone because I can always throw it away. It only costs me $100, you know. I don't even expose my machines to the internet anymore. And by the way, on one of my hard drives, it was discovered that there was a secret operating system or virus that's being hidden in the reserve sectors of the hard drive. It's virtually undetectable unless you wipe away unless you utilize those reserve sectors, which are put there by the manufacturer in case you have a sector failing. It'll be a backup where your data would go, but it's not supposed to be formatted. So that's how sophisticated these people are. Go ahead.
No, I appreciate all that, Bruce. Why don't you just stand by?
Okay.
I'm gonna bring in Paul. Yeah. Paul, I know you got a lot to say. Let me hear it.
Well, you know, I'd say that probably half of the show was cogent and interesting, you know, probably the first 45, 50 minutes. And then after that, there were so many things where I kind of feel like he was just making stuff up. I have no idea what he was talking about, especially when he was throwing around these population numbers and, you know, there didn't seem to be a point to what he was saying. And some of the things I just would want to ask him, like, okay, but how do you know this? You know, there's a lot of stuff we can speculate and we can guess, okay? But here's one thing that I wish everybody, including you, Jim, but especially him, okay, would stop saying and stop even thinking about bringing in illegal aliens to vote. It's the most ridiculous nonsense. I've made this point before. These people are not voting. They don't need them to vote. If they brought them in to vote, then why do they need to stuff the ballots and why do they have to have electronic voting machines that they can go ahead and hack and move the totals around any way they want? It's ridiculous. It's a racial war. That's all this is. Okay? Cut and dry. This is a racial war. And the sooner that we get it in our heads, the better. We don't care about these people because they're illegal. All right? That's just bullshit. I can't stand it when people talk about, oh, illegal versus legal. Oh, if they come here legally, it's nonsense. Because subconsciously, most of these people know they don't like them because they're not white. Okay? Now, the ones that have what I call courage and honesty will say, yeah, they're non-white immigrants. Is that why we don't want them? Okay, but, oh, they get called a racist. The bottom line is these people, they can hammer a nail, but they couldn't invent a nail. They couldn't build a nail. They couldn't make a factory to make a nail. They could use a drill, but they could never make a drill. These are low IQ, Stone Age people. That's a fact, okay? And they're designed for one purpose and one purpose only, to destroy us racially. And that's what the war in Ukraine and Russia is all about. They're trying to get as many white people killed as possible. It's pretty straightforward. I don't disagree with a lot of what McCanny was saying about the politics of Ukraine and the relationship to the Jews in Israel, so on and so forth. A lot of that is certainly true. But here I have a question about what Putin's strategic objectives are, okay? I think there's a lot of this war that is kind of staged and phony. I don't know really what's going on, and I don't know why Putin doesn't pursue the proper tactical means to achieve whatever his strategic goals are. Now, in World War II, we have that as a recent example. All the other wars were basically just economic for the most part, right? Quote, unquote, it's a war against communism. Well, all it was a war for defense contractors to get rich and to steal resources from other countries. But a World War II was fought with strategic objectives. Okay, we went into Germany, we deposed the German government. Okay, when Germany went into France, okay, they deposed the French government and took over. And I'm certain if Germany had reached Russia and reached Moscow, they would have deposed the Russian government. So what the heck is going on with this war? Because if everything you say, even half of what you say about Russia is true, then Russia could go in to the Ukraine and depose that government. But they're not. And I don't know if they're going to. And the last thing I'll end this rant on before you respond or whatever is there's not going to be a nuclear war. Okay, plain and simple. even if nuclear weapons exist, and I don't really believe that they do, and I made that clear, and I have good reasons for thinking that, they're just not going to be used, okay? And I wish people would stop talking about it, stop fear-mongering. There's not going to be a nuclear war, period, end of story. Even if nuclear weapons exist, they're not going to come into play. That's not the way, that's not the nature of what we're seeing. So that's it for the moment. Thanks.
Well, I want to bring in Mitchell, who's got nice observation about Laura Logan, the UN planning to bring in 100 million more illegals. I think legal migration is perfectly okay, but legal migration tends to be restricted. Mexico has policies the United States could benefit from. Number one, that you cannot migrate into Mexico unless you can show that you have something to contribute to the good of Mexico, some talent, skill, dentist, doctor, PhD, what have you, then you would be eligible, provided that in addition, you have the financial resources to support yourself and your family once you're in the country. Another, Mexico has safeguards that
You were going to bring in Mitch. You're going on to a long lecture here. We know how you feel about it.
Paul, I'm gonna take you off if you keep interrupting me when I'm responding. Stop it. Just stop it, Paul. God damn it. If we had the same policies, then the situation would be very, very different. And with those observations, that Mexico has a far more rational and sane immigration policy than the United States, I want to bring in Mitchell, who's onto something here. Mitchell.
Hey, hi, Jim. Hey, Paul.
Hey, Mitch.
Bruce and
Brian.
I'm trying to remember everybody. It's no problem. If Jim can play that clip, I mean, I don't know. I know there's massive conspiracies all around us, and there's just too much convenience of all the different things that happen in the sequence.
I can try to play it, Mitchell. Let me see if I can get it to go here.
Because I spoke to a man who was actually holding the documents in his hand. He told me about it, right? He said he was he infiltrated the global cabal at the UN level, right? And one of the things that he was able to tell me about from his own personal experience, what he witnessed himself, was these documents that show that the plan, there is a plan, and this was several years ago, right? The plan was to infiltrate 100 million illegal immigrants. And at that point, they were already at 40 million. And these people would dilute what they called the pool of patriots. Those were their words, right? And they would not be taught that America is a great country and trained to sing the national anthem with pride and so on and so on. They would be taught all the negative things that we're taught about the U.S. today that our own children are taught. And what would be the effect of diluting the pool of patriots? Well, it would be to break down this sense of pride in being American and what it means to be American.
Oh, I don't think there's any doubt. The note here says, Laura Logan reveals she spoke to a man who said he infiltrated the global cabal at the UN and had papers to prove they had a plan to infiltrate 100 million illegals to dilute the pool of patriots so he could take over the U.S. Mitchell, I think that's a good point. Your further thoughts?
Well, you know, look at Congress, you know, look at the power positions in the United States, when you spend hundreds of millions, if not billions of dollars in pursuit of quote unquote public office, who in the hell are you serving?
Yeah. What did you think about James' report? I thought he had the big picture pretty damn clear.
Yeah. My concern, part of my concern is, when they create the chaos is unpredictable. It's like a moving battle. And I don't think they quite understand how it can unfold and then get out of hand quickly where they have no way to put anything back in a bag.
I just know if there's any way, and by the way, Paul said something stupid about nukes. They're already using nukes in Ukraine, Paul. I don't care if you don't think they exist. They bloody well do exist. In one of your most stupid positions to deny that nukes exist. I explained how Christopher Busby went to Fallujah, where I interviewed him as an international expert.
Paul,
just get him the hell out of here. Paul turns out to be a pain in the ass. Pain in the ass. Get rid of him, Mitchell. Get rid of him. Just insulting beyond belief. Paul's an idiot in some respects. He's brilliant in other ways, but he's a complete idiot in other regards. Just embarrassingly bad. People who deny nukes, I mean, this is really, truly idiotic. And I've explained before, Christopher Busby went to Fallujah to investigate the relationship between the outbreak of genetic abnormalities, two heads, no arms, intestines outside, all this kind of weird shit. And discovered, well, he thought it was going to be from depleted uranium used in anti-tank weapons. It actually was from enriched uranium from a new class of nuclear weapons. We already have nuclear weapons being used in Ukraine, which no doubt were supplied by the United States. So, in my opinion, Paul could not be more wrong. Now, he loves to come in here and tell me how wrong I am. Well, in this case, I think he could not be have his head more where the sun doesn't shine. And frankly, when he comes on and tries to take over the show, I give him so much airtime, it just pisses me off. Just unbelievable. Mitchell, now, I thought James McCanney gave a very reasonable, very rational, very comprehensive overview of the situation we're in, and none of it is good. And I threw in along the way a new piece that just popped up that the signs are, the voting patterns show the Democrats are going to steal the 2022 midterms just the same way they stole the 2020. And of course, as James observed, we're not even allowed to talk about the theft of the election. I mean, what the hell has happened to this country, Mitchell?
Well, Jim, a lot of people are going to be watching a lot closer this time. And, I really don't believe, I really believe that they're trying to set up a paranoia type thing around the election. And, when Democrats lose and they're all the polls, they can hide the polling until it gets close at the end. And then they really can't hide it. But Democrats have been losing everywhere. And they're even a good chance they could lose the governorship of New York. I'm always leery of what the polls say. People's Pundit Daily with Rich Barris, he does some really accurate polling. On the last few polling election cycles. So, Arizona and Nevada Senate races are now are either statistical toss-ups or they're leaning Republican. There are just so many different pieces of the pie moving right now that as Biden tried to push with the Afghani, Biden tried to tell the Afghani president, just stand strong, tell everybody it's okay, that perception is the key to everything. Well, not in the real wild, wild west of Afghanistan. Perception doesn't matter. It's just the barrel of the gun matter. In the United States, in this psychological psyop that we're all induced in, perception is all that matters.
Yes, so, yes, yeah, yes. Yeah, well, Henry Kissinger made that point so long ago that the facts don't matter, all that matter are perceptions, and thus we've gone full Hollywood ever since. There's more political theater out there than there is reality. It's absolutely astonishing. practically every major story is a fabrication. You got to really sort things out to figure out what's real and what's not. Let me go back to see if Brian, did you want to add a further thought?
Well, yeah, because we're under the Eager door here, and I read today that the CIA was behind making 800 movies, and what you might want to watch is Escape from New York, which is what New York is going to look like in the future. Another thing is old Outer Limits episodes are just jaw-dropping because it's what we're going through now. And one quick thing on all the Mexicans coming from the border. Look on the internet at Lake McConaughey in Nebraska. Now, the reason I bring it up is it's probably the most beautiful lake in the country, and it looks like the coast of Mexico on the Pacific Ocean. It's nothing but sand and blue water, and it's just absolutely huge. I went there 2 years ago in the summer, over 4th of July, and I felt like I was in Mexico. The Mexicans, they know that lake, and when you go there, it is so overrun with people from south of the border that can't speak English. And I mean, I didn't mind where I was at. I had four beautiful teenage Hispanic girls in their bikinis next to us, but it was just jaw-dropping. It was just unbelievable. So look up Lake McConaughey images of it, and you'll see what I'm talking about. So that's what I had to say.
Good stuff. Bruce, further thoughts from you?
Well, yeah, I was going to say nukes don't exist, too, but I guess I can't.
you can say it. You're just saying something that is provably false. So go ahead and say it, Bruce. Join Paul. Go ahead and say it.
You can't sit in Adam again.
This is like the flat earth people. I'm sorry to say, and I know people I respect who think earth is flat. This is idiotic. Idiotic. You're taking
Read Miles W. Mathis. That's always
if you believe everything Miles Mathis has to say, well, good luck for you.
No, I don't. I'm just trying to be facetious there.
I'm not in a facetious mood. I'll tell you. Paul bit me out of shape today.
I'll get it. I'll make a cogent point.
It's ridiculous.
The population thing, the Central Americans are different from the Mexican Americans, which are actually highly Castilian, at least the ones that resided in Texas during my time growing up. They have a high birth rate because it's an evolutionary strategy that's been developed because they had a high infantile fatality rate. And that's what they're just repopulating like crazy. And the crazy thing is, though, is that locally here, especially the white Christian Baptists, which annoy me to no end, you know, they'll talk about, you know, build a wall and Trump, but they'll hire these people because they're cheap, you know. They're cheap, and you see them at every construction site, and they're digging their own grave genetically, and it's just annoying as hell. In the same way with Africa, you know, Africans before they had technology, you know, brought to them, you know, they had a high mortality rate among infants too, you know, and constant warfare, and it's just different evolutionary strategies for different environmental systems that they had to go. The Europeans were in, you know, cold upper northern latitudes, and so they had to mostly be clannish and hole up in their little adobes through the winter. They're just different people that evolved in different ways, and we gave them technology, and that's what's exploding the population. And what the Jews or the New World Order is doing is just exploiting the overpopulation of the third world to break down the first world. And that's how I see it.
Well, I think those are sensible remarks. Mitchell, I want to bring you back in for some overview here.
Hey, I got one for you, Jim. You'll love this. So will Bruce. A journalist on, I guess it was the BBC, chastised a caller they had on the phone or somebody they were interviewing because they used the word globalist. And you were not supposed to use the word globalist because Jewish people were offended by it.
This whole idea, you know, now the San Diego parents are asking. Now the San Diego parents are asking a judge for $2.75 trillion against Alex Jones because their feelings were hurt. The First Amendment has nothing to do about hurting feelings or not. The First Amendment has to do with protecting unpopular speech. Popular speech doesn't require any protection. We should not give a damn whether any feelings are hurt. This is just such a perversion. It went along with political correctness and all the other woke ideology that's ascended on the United States like a swarm of locusts and doing justice, devouring the country. Intellectually, morally, politically, it is disgusting beyond belief. And frankly, the society is on the verge of collapse, the Democrats stealing another election, or so it appears. Frankly, it doesn't surprise. They're going to do everything they can to make it happen. I agree, Mitchell. There's so many who are paying attention now. It's going to be a hell of a lot harder, but we already have reports that the pattern is there, that the pattern is there. Here we have another. You've given me another. Let me take a look. Oh, yeah, globalists don't want to be called globalists. What the hell? How ridiculous is that, right? You can't say a word that is true if it offends some powerful interest group. With 30 seconds to go, I'm grateful to James McKinney for joining. I thought he gave a masterful overview of the situation. I thought it was very clearly expressed, very thorough, very comprehensive. Thanks to Brian Bruce and even Paul, though I found what he had to say highly objectionable. And Mitchell, you did a great job of making further contributions here. Meanwhile, spend as much time as you can with your family, your friends, because we do not know how much time we have left. Don't waste a minute of it. Spend it with the people you love. Back on Wednesday. See you then.
Enter into a world unseen on Raven Star's Witching Hour. You will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. With your host, the Solaris Blue Raven, Solaris will bring you an array of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
And that's right here at Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic rise.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyal? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty! Oh, give me
dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence